The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program
on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Oh boy, it's SB Nation AM on Valentine's Day. Now, John Elway is going to trade for Joe Flacco. I don't know if that's the right Valentine's gift you want to give the fan base of the Denver Broncos. Like, you know, how about we get like a decent quarterback that we could actually grow with that might get us back to prominence? And instead, John Elway is going to be trading for a guy who has been in steady decline over the last couple of years, lost his starting job to Lamar Jackson. Since winning the Super Bowl, his numbers have plummeted, and he's going to be replacing a guy who has slightly better numbers than he has over the last couple of years. I have no idea what's going on in Elway's head, and I mean this with all due respect to a guy that has who knows more about the quarterback position than I will ever know. He's forgotten more than I will ever know. But what I'm sensing is there is so much pressure for that organization not to fall down into the pit of, hey, we're going to lose for a while, or we're going to rebuild, or we're going to have to take a step back to take two steps forward, that I think he's so afraid to do that because the Broncos are an organization that doesn't do that. And for a long time, they just don't have losing seasons. They don't necessarily go to championships all the time, but they don't have losing seasons. And they've got back-to-back losing years for the first time since the early 70s. I think he's scared that on his watch, they're going to have three in a row. He has changed coaches. He has brought in a offensive coordinator who is a quarterback's coach at San Francisco, but is relatively new to the league, even though he's in his mid-40s, just to try to get a spark. And now they're bringing in Joe Flacco. This thing will happen in March when the deal happens. It's a mid pick. It's a fourth round pick, I think, the Broncos are sending over to Baltimore. Again, the details will come together later as this deal gets closer and closer. But nevertheless, Case Keenum came in and Elway was high on him, and now Case Keenum's gone and Joe Flacco comes in. You see a pattern here? Because I'm seeing a pattern here. And Elway, I think, is feeling the pressure in Denver to get back to winning. Instead of maybe looking at what he has and saying, you know what, maybe we just need to take a step back because eventually we can take two steps or three steps forward and win a title. We'll talk more about this and what is going on in the Mile High City as SB Nation AM continues.
I used to play around with hearts pacing at my call, but when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall for a little fool.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Throwback Thursday? I mean, is there a longer thing than throwback? Is there a longer term than throwback? This is going back to 1951 because we're celebrating the night that Sugar Ray Robinson defeated Jake LaMotta and took back the middleweight title. Jake LaMotta, of course, the subject of Raging Bull, Martin Scorsese's movie with Robert De Niro. Can we do this? I guess the songs that you play, and I'm not going to do that today because I don't know any of these songs.
Oh, you know what? It's going to be fun. You're gonna know
this
a lot
is
more than
My Little
you think.
Fool by Robbie and the Shandones.
Oh,
I don't know.
You were so close. It's actually Poor Little Fool.
Poor Little Fool.
By Ricky Nelson.
Okay, Ricky Nelson.
God, we know him.
Oh, goodness. Didn't he have two kids who had long hair, the Nelsons?
Maybe.
They were like
grandkids?
Yeah, I think he did.
Maybe grandkids?
Maybe grandkids.
We're going way back.
I think the Nelsons were like an 80s. They were like two twins,
90s.
I think, and they had long hair.
90s.
90s, really?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Early 90s. Maybe late 80s.
Act straight. That's right. So...
I guarantee there's going to be a lot of songs you probably don't know, but there will be songs that you do know.
Okay, good.
And a lot of earwormy songs.
By the way, happy Valentine's Day to all you people out there.
Thank you.
I went and got my wife a Valentine's Day card. This is how out of touch I am. I don't shop for cards very often. I paid $8 for a card. When did cards go that high? I went up to the counter.
Was there a gift
inside
of it?
And I gave the woman the... No, that's the problem. I went up to the counter. I gave the woman the card to pay for it. It was, and it wasn't special. Like, it wasn't one of those pop-up cards or it wasn't like, 3 feet tall or anything. Like, it was a standard card, had a nice little saying on it. Happy Valentine's Day, blah, blah, blah. And I gave it to the lady and she goes, $8.17. I go, what? Because, it says the price on the back of the card, but nobody looks at
nobody
it, right?
Ever
you
looks
just
at
go
it.
Up and...
Well, there's always two.
Nobody looks at it. Just...
There's always two prizes. There's like one American and one Canadian. I'm like, I'm in America. Why are you giving me a Canadian price?
I had a $5 bill in my hand, and I had to embarrassingly go back into my wallet to get more cash to pay for a piece of paper. I was like, right, God, guys,
I'm going to give you a tip.
This holiday.
I'm going to give you a tip. And for all those listening right now, here's the tip. You ready? Dollar Tree.
Yeah, that's true. Or make your own card.
Yeah, who has time for that? You do that, you
cut
get glitter all
over construction
paper.
Yeah,
but you get glitter all over the place. And then, what you're basically doing is saying, honey, I made you this card. And can you clean up my mess?
But this isn't fair, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I did two things yesterday. I bought a card and then I went and grabbed lunch. And lunch was cheaper than the Valentine's card I bought. That's not right. That shouldn't happen. Lunch was cheaper. I mean, my God, a card. I thought cards were like $3. When did we all of a sudden go up in price on cards?
I know, inflation.
Oh my God. And then my son tells me, he goes, well, they do have to pay the writer. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. But
yeah, but how much are you paying $8? A writer for a card?
Kidding me?
Don't they just get flat fees?
The worst Valentine's thing I had was my wife loves Winnie the Pooh. She loves anything with Winnie the Pooh on it. And I was in a store and I saw this box of candy and it was Winnie the Pooh. And I was like, oh my, she'll love this. So I bought it and I brought it home and I presented this, like Valentine's box. I got her a movie too and all this stuff. My wife comes home. She sees the Winnie the Pooh Valentine's box and she goes, oh, that's, and she reaches into her bag and she pulls out the Winnie the Pooh, another Winnie the Pooh Valentine's box. And she goes, I saw this in the store and I really wanted it. And I didn't think you would get it for me.
Oof.
I know, right?
Oof.
I was like, really?
Man. That's love.
I know. That's when you've been married a long
yes.
time. When your wife is like, I bought this for myself because I thought if you saw it, you would just walk on by.
Yeah, I was going to put your name on it, too.
Yeah.
I was going to say from your loving husband.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. I bought it for myself. Oh, God. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to buy myself some golf clubs and say that's what you bought me.
Exactly.
That's what I'm going to do.
Man, best Valentine's ever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, so the Denver Broncos, I got to get into this. Joe Flacco is going to be a Bronco. What is John Elway doing here? What is
What is the issue?
I read somewhere, and I'm not 100% sure if this is accurate because it was a tweet, but you know, everything on the internet is true, that he has gone after the three tallest quarterbacks.
Yes, I saw this too. Yes. Okay, that's a great – yes. Brock Osweiler was like 6'7", if I'm not mistaken. Paxton Lynch was 6'7". I know he's going after these Giants. Flacco is 6'6". He's wanting these average tall quarterbacks. That's what he's going after. And Case Keenum wasn't exactly – tall. I think Case Keenum was 6'2",
Yeah, that's why he wasn't going to ever make it.
So, of course, Elway went, well, I tried the short guy. Now I'm going to go back to mediocre tall quarterbacks to guide my team. I don't know what is happening here. Listen.
I think he's trying to find someone who's a mile high.
Must be. He must be. Listen, I said this at the top of the show. I think he is scared of the word rebuild. I mean, there are people who don't like the term. They don't like, but it doesn't care. To me, it doesn't matter what you call it. This is something sometimes you may need to do. And I think he is, because the Broncos are coming off back-to-back losing seasons, you can go into the draft with the number 10 pick and get a Drew Lock, let's say, and then go, okay, we've got our quarterback, and now we're going to take a while to grow this, right? We may be 5-11 with a new quarterback, but this is the guy we want. And I think Elway's afraid of this. I think Elway doesn't want on his watch to have back-to-back-to-back losing seasons. It hasn't happened. I don't think three straight losing seasons has happened in the team's history. The last time they lost back-to-back, had back-to-back losing seasons was 70-71. So you have to go back 48 years to find the last two, you know, consecutive seasons in which the Broncos had losing records. And I think under his watch, he doesn't want to have a third. And he's thinking, let me find a guy that is, because if I rebuild, I know I'm going to have one. If I get Joe Flacco, I may not. I may not. But at the same time, this sounds like a panic move. He can't convince. The NFL fan base is too smart for him to sell this. And he's not going to be able to say, I know something you don't know. I've been a quarterback and I see this. The fan base is too smart. They've seen this guy in decline over the last couple of years to know that this guy isn't the answer. He's not a change of scenery person. He is not a change of offensive philosophy person. He has been in steady decline with the Ravens, enough for them to go after a rookie and then give him the starting job. To make it so that Lamar Jackson is now going to be the Ravens quarterback going forward. Joe Flacco is not going to go to Denver and throw darts all over the place and revitalize his career. And if he does, then Elway's a genius, I guess. But that is not sellable today if you're a Broncos fan. You're getting a quarterback that is statistically worse than the guy you had last year. Wacko for Flacco. This is crazy. This is nuts. Absolutely nuts. And it's a panic move by Denver. I can't begin to tell you how much I hate this. I hate this so much because it is hubris and it's arrogance and it's fear. It's all three tied up in one. It's hubris on the idea that, yeah, no, I know this better than you. He'll work out. And it's fear because you don't want to lose again. You don't want to go down a losing road again. The fan base doesn't know what it's like to go through this process. And here's the problem. Fan bases will go through that process with you if there is something on the other end, right? If there is a chance to see a good quarterback grow into the position. Peyton Manning didn't blow up the league when he first got in, but the Colts knew they had a great quarterback coming down the line.
I say Troy Aikman.
Yeah, Troy Aikman.
First
same
year.
Deal.
I mean, the Cowboys.
1-15.
Yeah, the Cowboys. I mean, any team that personifies, you know, winning, it would be the Cowboys, and they went 1-15.
1-15.
And what did it paid off?
And so that is so. If you give somebody that, like, let's say Locke has all the tools, and you bring him in, and he does good things, but they lose, but he's looking good. Fans will be okay with that. But if you sell them Joe Flacco, and they owe him $66 million over the next 3 years, they're on the hook for that. If they... I can't begin to tell you how much I hate this. I hate this so much. Because if I'm a Bronco fan, I need to know that we're going in the right direction. And this is not going in the right direction. And that direction isn't we're going to compete with the Chiefs and the Chargers next year. The right direction is, you know what? We're going to get a quarterback of the future, and he's going to be the guy, and he's going to grow into that position. And then we are going to go and take that to divisional championships into the postseason. What are you going to do with Flacco for the next 3 years? How does a Drew Lock get work with the Broncos if Joe Flacco is there? It's a terrible, terrible, terrible decision. But again, Elway is gambling on this working out and him being a hero. Like he, because I'll tell you right now, if this does work, if he is electrifying the Broncos, if they're winning games and he's the reason for it, then Elway can take a bow. But I don't see it, and a lot of people are not seeing this.
I mean, do you think he's looking at this like, hey, you know, it worked once before with Peyton, where I brought Peyton in, you know, aging quarterback, not much left, and he's just trying to find someone who's serviceable that can run the offense and relying everything on defense?
Well, I could buy that, except we don't really know what the offense is going to look like now that they've revamped the whole coaching staff.
Well, and that and Joe Flacco doesn't scream Hall of Fame to me.
No, he doesn't.
I mean,
no.
Peyton Manning was like, you know, that I think that was worth the risk because of his pedigree.
Do you remember when the Joe Flacco $20 million debate went on after the Super Bowl? Remember that remember like he won the Super Bowl and then they were like, well, do you want
to pay him?
Do you want to pay him? Like, literally, there was a debate going on about whether or not the Ravens should pay him. He had won a Super Bowl. But you know what he's done since then? Nothing. Nothing. Declining statistics. They're staggering. 800-777-2907. We'll dive into this some more. And again, as a fan base, ask yourself this question. Would you want to have a team that doesn't see what you see, and then continues to try to bring in quarterbacks that are just mediocre to terrible? Or would you rather just scrap the whole thing and say, let's start over again, like some good teams have done, and build it up again, and so we can have success for a good period of time if we find the right one? 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
Splish, splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is 1951 when Jake LaMotta lost to Sugar Ray Robinson. As Robinson took the middleweight title, Jake LaMotta, the subject of Raging Bull, the 1980 movie, Martin Scorsese, that starred Robert De Niro. Joe Pesci was in it. We were just talking about this before the show. Frank Vincent was in it. He's played Billy Batts in Goodfellas, and he was also a Batts in Raging Bull, which was really cool.
Yep. I think his name was like Sylvie, but
Sylvie Batts. Yeah, Sylvie Batts. He was also Sopranos. He played the mob boss after Johnny Sachs. God, I haven't seen Sopranos in a long time.
Last name Batts, maybe?
No. I wish I could remember what his last name was. Oh goodness. It's going to bother me all show now. And I don't want to Google. It's just a simple Google, but yeah. I don't want to do it. I really want to come up with it myself.
I want to work it out.
I want to work it out myself. Right. Make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You've been delaying some much needed car maintenance. Delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, so I'll figure that out. But 1951, way, way, way before my time. Splish Splash by, I don't know, give me a name of somebody.
Bobby Darin.
Bobby Darin? Mac the Knife, Bobby Darin?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, I like Bobby Darin. You're going to recognize these songs. You may not know who sung them.
Bobby Darin, Kevin Spacey played him in a movie, and I was thinking, I remember seeing it and thinking, why would you make a movie about Bobby Darin? Like, what would make you want to watch that?
Because Darin is his last name.
I guess that was what they call a vanity project in Hollywood. Or guys just want to do something so badly, they find a way to do it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, when you impersonate someone famous, you sometimes get the Oscar.
That is true. That is a good point. That is a really good point.
Unless you played Bobby Darin.
All right, so I was asking the question. Yeah, I was asking the question earlier. Look, we all are fans of NFL teams, right? And some of you are fans of successful teams, and some of you are fans of teams that are going through some hard times right now. But when the Denver Broncos are a team right now that need a quarterback, they haven't found one since Manning retired after winning the Super Bowl. But John Elway has failed in a number of attempts to land that person. Right, he was going to offer Brock Osweiler a lot of money. Houston stepped in, took him away. I didn't. Paxton Lynch, his first round draft pick, didn't work out. Trevor Siemian didn't work out. Now Case Keenum is not going to work out, and now he's bringing in Joe Flacco in another attempt to restart the Broncos' championship pedigree. Right. Well, I look at this as a desperation move, and I'm wondering if the Bronco fan base would be okay if they just took a step back and said, look, draft a quarterback. Let's grow the quarterback. Let's put the offense in a position where that kid may do some good things. He may actually get us some victories. Probably not going to make the playoffs, but we can have a bright future. Or does Elway look at his team and he sees Von Miller, Bradley Chubb on the other side and says, I've got Vic Fangio. I've got a roaring defense. I don't need an offense that scores 30 points a game. I don't need to be the Rams or the Chiefs. I got Philip Lindsay in the back. I've got Royce Freeman. I'm going to revamp the offensive line with Mike Munchak. Give me a serviceable quarterback. If we can put up 20-plus a game, I've got a defense that's going to win us more games than not. If he's thinking like that, okay. Okay. But Flacco is not going to be the championship answer that you're looking for. Because that formula that I just gave you doesn't sound like a Super Bowl type of formula. How many serviceable quarterbacks go into the postseason and win? All right, a couple, right? We got Trent Dilfer's got a title. Brad Johnson, people put him in that category, but he had a pretty good season with Tampa Bay that year they won. They won on defense, of course, but he had a pretty good season for the Buccaneers when they won the Super Bowl. But very rarely do serviceable quarterbacks who could just get you by deliver championships. And if the answer is Super Bowl or bust, we're a Super Bowl town, we're a Super Bowl team, then this isn't the answer. If, and here's the if the answer really is, hey man, I'm not losing again. I'm not going down again. I've had 2 years of back-to-back losing seasons. This town's fed up with it. It ain't going to happen on my watch. I just need Flacco to go 8-8. If he can just do that, then I'm not going to be the GM president of operations that has gone through three straight losing seasons. And that might be the reason behind this move. It's not to prove that Joe Flacco can be the elite quarterback that Elway believes he can be. It may just be he knows the NFL. He knows this league. If I can just get the defense up to par, if I can just get the defense up to speed, and that's good because I got talent there, and we run the ball pretty well, and Flacco doesn't blow up and make a zillion mistakes, we might win enough games where I don't have the pressure of losing again. And that's what's behind it. And if that's behind this, I'm sorry. That's not building anything. That's just treading water. And if you're treading water for a long period of time, guess what happens? You eventually drown. So that's what I'm worried about. I said this at the start. I hate this. I hate this, hate this, hate this, hate this, hate this. Because you have the 10th pick in the draft and you love Drew Locke and you're going to get him and let him sit behind Joe Flacco? What are you going to do, bench Joe Flacco at $20 million? Drew Locke, it could be your quarterback from day one and go forward. Rebuild. Don't be afraid of the term. Do it. Other teams have. You can too.
Now, see, you might hate this, but me being a Chargers fan and, you know, being a rival team in the AFC West, I am loving everything about it because what it feels like, because, you know, we said it earlier that John Elway's gone after, like, the three tallest quarterbacks in the league. It feels like Al Davis going after the fastest guy in the draft. Didn't matter what position, where he was playing. He was just like, I just want him because he's fast.
I mean, Joe Flacco.
I mean, was he ever good?
Well, that's the problem, right? He was always good in the postseason, but he was terrible during the... Not terrible. I shouldn't say terrible. He was okay during the regular season. He's pretty mediocre. He's a little, like the first couple of years that he was in the league, he had okay statistics. The Ravens would win games. He got to the postseason. Then he was good.
Yeah, well, you know what,
right?
It is?
Still found, what, Jacoby Jones for a touchdown and tied the game against the Broncos. They won in double overtime. Then he went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yep. No, right? See, the way I look at it is, like, would he be in your top 10 quarterbacks?
No.
You know, I mean, even at his peak, was he in the top 10 of the quarterbacks of that time?
No.
Exactly. That's, I mean, you know, he's better than average, and that's about all he was. And he got a huge payday.
He did. And that was the Super Bowl reward. But again, it was controversial because even people in Baltimore were like, well, he's not on the elite level. Like what the other teams have that are Super Bowl championship teams.
No,
like,
he's not
on that level.
It was that excuse that, you know what? Hey, there's only 32 guys that can do this. You got to pay out for them.
Yeah. Especially a guy that wins you a Super Bowl. And he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. So they paid him. This is probably what you should do. But ever since then, his numbers have plummeted. His passer ratings are terrible. I mean, he doesn't go to Pro Bowls, and now he's the Broncos.
Well, a hard-headed woman, a soft-hearted man, been the cause of trouble ever since the world began. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And ever since the world began.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Celebrating the year 1951, Sugar Ray Robinson defeating Jake LaMotta. It makes me want to watch Raging Bull again, but...
Totally.
Is this Elvis?
Of course.
All right, just want to make sure.
Yeah, he might appear a couple of times. Yeah, this isn't a fat, bloated Elvis.
No, this is early this Elvis, is, 1951
this is,
Elvis.
This is
how old was Elvis in 51? He had to be like 20 years old.
Yeah, this is when he was the heartthrob of the nation and getting in trouble for swiveling those hips.
Elvis was, when was Elvis born? 1935. So this was really young Elvis.
And this is back from war Elvis, right?
God.
Or did he? No, he went later. I don't remember.
This is like 16-year-old Elvis. I didn't know he was that young. When he was rocking and rolling.
Did you know this but about Jake LaMotta? Okay, you know, today was the day he was lost to Sugar Ray Robinson, and it was
Second time he had beat him earlier in his career, right?
Right. But did you like when I was looking at the fight, he beat him 1 week. Like I can't remember the week, but it was earlier. It was like in the 40s. 2 weeks later, they fought again.
Wow! 2 weeks later.
2 weeks later.
Today that would be a year.
Can you imagine? And I don't know if it was for a title fight. I don't think either one of them had a title at the time, but I mean, it was a marquee boxing event. And he fights him 1 week, knocks him down, and then 2 weeks later, has to fight him again. And Sugar Ray Robinson won that one.
It is so weird how that sport, like we always talk about the NFL, right? And you always, remember when the NFL was going through its problems and people were saying, oh, this could be the death of the league eventually, like concussions. It was just building up. And you're like, nah, that'll never happen. But then the old timers would say, yeah, but if you go back to like the 30s and the 40s and you told people back then that boxing would be pretty much irrelevant in 60 years, people would say, oh, you're crazy. This is the biggest thing. This is the biggest sport we have. Are you kidding me? So it's, give things time. And you'll see a different history. You think things will last forever, but they won't. Boxing was the thing in this country. Like there's no exaggeration. Like major fights, an age before the internet, right? In an age where
age before TV,
age before TV, heavyweight champions were still the most recognizable people in the world. Like that's how big boxing was.
Well,
if you were like a Jack Dempsey or you were like any heavyweight champion or you were one of the most recognizable faces on the planet.
No, I mean, you did it right there. You could say names of these guys and you may not know what they look like, but you've heard of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can say Jack Dempsey. You can say Rocky Marciano. You know, Jake LaMotta, maybe more known for Raging Bull, but you know him. Sugar Ray Robinson. You've heard all these guys before, and that's just because, I mean, they were the kings. They were the athlete.
Yeah, and only people gathered around to listen to these fights on radio in huge numbers. I mean, you would every fight, those, like when Hollywood does this, that was a reality. People gathered and they would get together with people and they would just sit by the radio and they would listen to these fights, and everybody listened to these fights. It wasn't just a percentage of the, it was pretty much a universal thing. When there was a major fight, everybody would tune in and listen to it. And so it really is incredible to watch what it is today, because you're right. I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if pay-per-view had a lot to do with it. I don't know if the generation changed with its attitude towards it. I don't know the accessibility of it. Listen, when you're 20 years old or you're 19 years old and you're working at some restaurant for minimum wage, you don't have like $70 to buy a pay-per-view fight. You just, so because you don't, and maybe you can't get it or maybe you can't see it, you lose interest in it, and it's not. It doesn't become part of your adult viewing habits when you were younger. I don't know. Maybe there's something to be said about that. I mean, I still love a great title fight. I still, you know, like that. But I kind of grew up in a different time. I kind of grew up where that was a big deal.
Yeah, but you know, are you
watching
willing,
Howard Cosell?
Like, what was the last big? See, I'm already forgetting what the last big fight was.
Yeah, me too. For me, it was Mayweather-Pacquiao. That was 3 years
ago.
Yeah,
no, but I'm talking about there was
really
one.
Really watching it.
There was one, like, literally last month for the title.
Yeah, right.
And it was Mayweather and some. Oh, not Mayweather, Pacquiao, and God, I don't know who he fought.
See, that becomes a problem, right?
And, I mean, is it Deontay Wilder? No.
Yeah. Well, is he still the heavyweight champion? See, I don't even
know. No, it wasn't him. Maybe Adrian Broner.
That out. Adrian Broner, yeah,
it was Pacquiao,
right.
And Broner. You know, did you shell out money for that fight?
No, I did not.
No, of course not. I mean, I watched it because, you know, thankfully we live in the age of technology, and somebody was periscoping it through Facebook.
Do you remember when Howard Cosell used to call fights? Remember when Howard Cosell would?
Yes, of course. Well, I mean, not watching him because I never watched him. Yeah. I never watched him do it, but I know he was Muhammad Ali's best friend.
Yeah. He called a fight. I think it was the final fight of his career, and I think it was Tex Cobb against Larry Holmes, and I think Cobb. I might have to look this up. Anyway, Larry Holmes was getting destroyed, right? Destroyed, and or was it Tex Cobb getting destroyed? Somebody was getting destroyed. I think it was Tex Cobb, but anyway, nevertheless, whoever was getting beat up pretty badly. Cosell had a line that he goes, I wonder if this referee understands he's participating in the abolition of the very sport in which he is a part of. Because it was such a beatdown, and it was like he wasn't, the referee wasn't calling the fight. If Howard Cosell, in the middle of a fight, is so disgusted by the fight that he's literally thinking, this could be banned. Like, this sport could be banned. Because this fight is so egregious and so terrible and so violent, and nobody's doing anything about it. If Howard Cosell, like, imagine if Joe Buck said that about the NFL.
No, we don't even have to. We don't have to imagine. You don't even have to imagine anything. Bob Costas did that.
Did that and can't call NFL games forever. Like, literally can't call. So Cosell is calling a boxing match, and he goes, "This sport probably is over. Like, it's probably done. Like, this fight is so bad." That I can't even stand it anymore. Like, this fight is so terrible, I can't stand it anymore. And if anybody did that today, you'd never hear him again. Like,
no.
Nowhere near that sport.
I mean, he is the sports guy in the country.
Exactly.
Says, you know, just freely talks about concussions during an NFL game. The NFL's like, you know what? I know you're wildly popular and everyone likes you, but you're done.
Yeah, I think it was
just
Holmes beating
Olympics.
Up Tex Cobb. I think I got to look that up, but whoever the fight was, it's irrelevant. The relevant part is Cosell calling a fight actually suggested that maybe the sport should be abolished. Like, it's so, but think about it now. So think about that, right? So think about that moment, right? And that was probably, you know, 80s, mid 80s, right?
Okay.
That's really like less than a generation from when, no, probably 20 years, when boxing was the biggest thing on the planet. Like when Muhammad Ali fought George Foreman in Zaire. I mean, that's a major global sporting event, right? Or the Thrilla in Manila, or all the fights that these were major world events. And in a very short amount of time, Cosell went from doing those where he knew the stage was bigger than even him and his ego was gigantic to, hey, maybe this sport should probably be cool it for a little bit. Maybe this sport really needs
maybe
to chill.
Take a break.
Maybe needs to take a break. This is not good. Like, so you never know. When we talk about the invincibility of some of these organizations, or the fact that, oh, you can't kill the NFL. Give it 100 years and if we could fast forward time 100 years, let's see where the NFL is then. No, maybe it's thriving. Maybe it's disappeared completely. Who knows?
If you had told someone who lived in the 40s or 50s, I know we're talking about boxing, but if you told someone in the 40s and 50s that, you know what, baseball won't be the number one sport.
No kidding. Oh,
no
my God.
One would believe you.
Nobody would believe you.
Were you kidding me?
Yeah.
The Yankees themselves will just save baseball.
Back then, the timelessness of the game was like a big, huge celebration, right? Oh, this is great. Just sitting around watching a ball game. Now millennials are like, this is too slow.
Too slow.
I can't process this. This is terrible. I need something quicker. Things change.
Although, when you look at the numbers, the game's much faster than it has been in the last 5 years.
I know it has. It really
still
has.
Too they've slow.
Done a, they've done a great job. They have. Credit to them, because they really tried. They really tried, but. We'll see. They just want video game baseball.
They all want home runs. They just want lots and lots of scoring.
That's true.
They don't want pitching. Pitching duels.
Yeah, exactly. Cosell was great. Back to Cosell for a second. When Monday Night Football was a big deal, like people would throw bricks at like the team. Like they have brick throwing TV. Like you could go to a bar and Cosell's face would be on a dartboard and stuff like that. Like, and he relished that, but I think there was some insecurity there too, but he still didn't mind being that popular, like that people didn't like him. But he took sportscasting to another, like to the celebrity place where it doesn't really go anymore. There really isn't that personality in sportscasting that just transcends all of it to get, like maybe Romo could do that, but. He was just different.
Well, would you say like the last one was probably John Madden?
Probably John Madden, yeah. Yeah.
And we really haven't had one. I mean, you're not going to throw Costas or Buck up there or Tirico.
No, you can't.
Maybe Al Davis, you think?
Maybe so.
But if you have to question it, no, it's not.
Yeah. Maybe so. So yeah. He also wrote some really good books. I recommend them if you haven't. He passed away like mid 90s, but before he wrote some really good poignant books about sports and problems with sports and whatnot. SB Nation AM, it's SB Nation Radio, continuing our look at the Joe Flacco situation in Denver and other news and notes from the NFL coming up.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Car accidents happen every day. Odds are you'll have one someday. I hope it's a small one, but if it happens, well, you know what to do. Please tell us to make sure no one's hurt and move our cars out of the way of traffic, if we can. Then, call 911 and they'll tell us what to do next. I tell my family to stay calm, make sure everybody's safe. Then, get your phone and start taking photos and recording contact information of the other driver and any witnesses. Then, get photos of the scene and the other car. Don't admit blame or blame anybody. We've all seen stories change and people drive away, never to be heard of again. And you're the one left on the side of the road with the wrecked car. But car is just stuff. It can be replaced, but people can't. So, let's be safe. Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. but great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, Auto Knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience as we celebrate 1951. Sugar Ray Robinson over Jake LaMotta. You know, Ron, I am a stickler for accuracy. I sometimes will say, oh, this is off the top of my head, and I wanted to, you know, but I will try to clarify to give the accurate account of anything that I bring up.
Because you do it for the people.
Then I do it for the people. So earlier in the show, last segment, I brought up Cosell making a comment over a fight about the possible, you know, his disgust of boxing at a period of time. So I did look it up. It was in 1982. It was a bout between Larry Holmes. He was clearly he was killing Randall Tex Cobb, who was outmatched in the fight. And the quote that Cosell famously said was this: I wonder if that referee understands that he is constructing an advertisement for the abolition of the very sport that he is a part of. He was horrified over the brutality of the one-sided fight. Later, he would call Muhammad Ali's final fight, which was against Larry Holmes, and after that, he said that was it. He was done with boxing. He was disgusted by the sport. So
that's
there you
a
go.
Lot of, you know, that quote. That quote is really elegant.
Really elegant. He really, really was. I mean, if you really break it down, the referee, he's wondering if the referee, who's not stopping the fight, is creating an advertisement for the abolition of the sport in which he works for. So he, by not doing anything, he's creating a situation where people viewing it will then support the abolition of the sport in which he's employed.
You know, I'm not going to knock Tony Romo, but we've gone from that to Tony Romo's,
Exactly.
It just makes me think that movie Idiocracy is true.
I know.
More of a documentary than a comedy.
Cosell was great, man. He was really great.
Because no one talks like that.
Nobody says that. Nobody says that stuff. Nobody says that stuff on TV anymore.
And if you do, you would get blasted. Twitter would have a field day like, oh, you know, what's he trying to do? What's he trying to prove?
Oh, and he was so. Here was the thing about Cosell. Like, people hated Cosell. People loved Cosell. But no matter if you loved Cosell, you couldn't love Cosell more than he loved himself. Like, he loved Cosell more than you did. He was that much of an egomaniac. But man, he was good with the words. He was a wordsmith. Coming up, John Elway hurting his reputation. We'll talk more about the Broncos and Joe Flacco and all the ramifications of that in the Mile High City next.